Welcome to Betamax Rewind, the only podcast that doesn't have its head screwed on tight when recognizing the true beauty of all women. Here are two guys that are known for wearing bad toupees, sporting sweet stashes, wearing matching top and bottom denim, and smoking filterless heaters. Matt and Doug.
You couldn't sneak Dick Broom past the censor?
I wasn't even going to try. It had crossed my mind, but I'm like, no, that is not going to get approved.
Okay. So that's Matt. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good. Lots of Dick Broom talk this week.
It's Thursday?
It is Thursday.
So yep. It's, that's Thursday. Let's go ahead and just jump into it.
And now it's time for podcast housekeeping.
All right. My week. I go first. This goes back a couple of weeks when I thought it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when he came popping out of the doe vagina and said, "Happy birthday" or "Happy New Year." And I figured out who said it. Did you figure it out?
No, I did not.
It's "Happy Birthday." And it is in the wheelhouse of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Let's see if you can figure it out.
Birthday.
Well, it's Frosty the Snowman.
That is Frosty the Snowman when they put the hat on his head. That's what he says every time.
Okay. This goes back a couple weeks as well. I was listening to the Elf podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you let something go that
I did.
I thought for sure that you were going to say something about it. I did not remember saying it until I listened to it back. I was talking about Zooey Deschanel.
Okay.
And there was some disagreement amongst the people on the podcast about whether she was, I don't know, traditionally attractive or, because I think she's attractive, but she has a different look. She's not, it's not that she's abnormal looking, but she doesn't look normal. And I said, she's got these really big eyes.
Does she have big eyes?
Yeah, she does.
Kind of like an ex-girlfriend of yours?
Yeah. So, it doesn't work.
Allegedly.
But, there you go.
Okay. You had said that Varsity Blues was the first MTV film.
That would be a big...
Yeah. Joe's Apartment in 96, Beavis and Butthead Do America in 96, Dead Man on Campus in 98, and then they released five movies in 99, one of which was Varsity Blues.
Yes, I had that as well. You had mentioned Kurt Vonnegut. And
yes.
I don't know if this is the thing that you were talking about, but it's the only thing I could find.
You've got a major paper coming up on Kurt Vonnegut. You haven't even read any of the books.
I tried. I don't understand a word of it.
So how are you going to write the paper then, huh?
Hi, I'm Kurt Vonnegut. I'm looking for Thornton Mellon.
Want to come in, Dad?
I don't know if that's what you were thinking about.
It is. My Kurt Vonnegut clip goes on a little bit longer. Play mine, because mine has a little bit more.
Oh, is that what KV is?
Yes.
Okay. I don't listen to them when they're housekeeping, so.
Hi, I'm Kurt Vonnegut. I'm looking for Thornton Mellon.
What do you think? Someone else wrote this?
Look, all I know is that you didn't, and that's what disappoints me. Tell you something else, whoever did write it doesn't know the first thing about Kurt Vonnegut.
And another thing, Vonnegut, I'm going to stop payment on a check. What's that? Fuck me. Hey, Kurt, you read lips. Fuck you. Next time I'll call Robert Ludlum.
Okay. And that is what I was thinking of when Thornton Mellon goes off on him.
Okay.
So, yes. Collective Soul albums. Their first one, Hints, Allegations, and Things Left Unsaid. Their second album, which is the blue one, which you had mentioned, it's untitled, and they refer to that as their debut album.
Okay.
And then there's Discipline Breakdown, Down, and then Dosage, and then a bunch of others after that.
All right. That is almost exactly how I had it typed up as well.
All right.
Eliel Swinton did indeed play for the Chiefs. So I was right. You had the right conference.
I had the right conference. I looked through division. I looked through all of our yearbooks. There was no hot gym teacher.
Mrs. Dietrich.
She was not hot.
Yes, she was.
She was not. No, she was not. She was not. There's a picture of her. I want to say it's the 88 yearbook where she's with all of the gym teachers. And then in 89, there's a solo shot of her. And it's
not a good picture. I will give you that. It's not a good picture because I did look it up today in the 89 yearbook. And she's by herself. And yeah, she has the kind of mom haircut.
Uh-huh.
No, she was hot.
No, she was not.
Okay. There was a couple clips that you said you had wished I had pulled. This is one of them.
Is that right before or right after they go, ooh, ah, ooh, ah,
and that's they go the, back? That's at the end. That's after he wins. Okay. So that's right before that.
All right. I had said that the music when Lance comes out of his house reminded me of a certain meat commercial, and I have a little bit of, well, just play the clip. This is Lance's music. And this is what it totally reminded me of.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Okay, that's the clip that had the pause in it. When I sent you a text message saying, hey, you got to let me know when you have a pause in there. Because uh-huh. Otherwise, I think that it's a mistake.
Okay.
Okay, a couple other clips that I said that I should have pulled or I talked about. This is one.
What is that in the background? Are you watching Star Trek?
And from the same show.
It tastes like feet.
That's Rachel's truffle.
That has a layer of beef in it. Yes.
Yes. No, Rachel, it is not supposed to have beef in it.
What does he say? Pudding, good. Bread, good. Beef, good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing else for housekeeping.
2006 was the year when the little brother disappeared, the actor. I talked about David Cross and Stephen Hawking based mm-hmm. on the whole thing with the list from Epstein.
Suck my cock, you bitch. Suck my hairy balls. Suck it, whore, whore. Suck my balls, you boy. Suck it, get it down there. You prostitute whore.
Yeah, so there's okay. That. Bridges of Madison County, they are in Iowa.
Oh, not Texas.
Nope. I can't believe, and I know why it didn't happen, that we did not talk at all about the press gobbler that was mentioned in the movie last week.
Well, it wasn't a press gobbler. It was a pressed ham with a side of chewed bubble gum.
Well, no, because they said they pressed their wangers up against the...
Oh, okay.
Up against the thing at the woman's auxiliary or whatever.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Apparently, I need validation because you didn't say anything about my song and I asked about it much, much later in the podcast.
And I told you I was proud of you.
And then the very last thing is, this is another comedian where we had talked about, how were we talking about Kennedy?
John F. Kennedy?
Yes.
I mean, that was a couple of weeks ago that we talked about John F. Kennedy with from Full Metal Jacket.
Okay, yeah, when you're talking, yeah, this book, school book suppository.
Yes.
I was just down in Dallas, Texas. You know, you can go down there and to Dealey Plaza where Kennedy was assassinated. And you can actually go to the sixth floor of the school book depository. It's a museum called the Assassination Museum. I think named that after the assassination. I can't be too sure of the chronology here, but anyway, they have the window set up to look exactly like it did on that day, and it's really accurate, you know, because Oswald's not in it. Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. So that's that.
Okay. All right.
And that is it. So moving on.
Hey man, what's new now?
Wait a second.
What's fucking new now?
Did you kill the segment?
Yes, I did.
Oh, really? I really like that segment.
Maybe it'll make an appearance again, but for now, it's gone.
Okay. That always brought me lots of laughs.
Yeah, it always brought me lots of work.
Well, you're the one that came up with it.
No,
me.
You actually did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. With no. The whole, da-da-da-da.
Well, I didn't say it should be a segment. Anyway, lots of little things. Do you have Peacock?
No, I don't, so I cannot watch the Chiefs game. Did you forget something?
Did I forget something?
You have a noise thing?
That's coming up.
Okay.
Will you get Peacock to watch the game?
No, I will not.
Yeah. I'm wondering what their motive is.
They're trying to get people to subscribe to Peacock. And there's a non-zero number of people that will subscribe just for that game, which is, I think, $6 a month. And then they won't forget to cancel.
It might be more. Yeah. It's the one game this weekend that makes sense because you're going to have all your Taylor Swiftie people that are going to get it. So they can catch a glimpse of Taylor Swift.
But if the game is not on locally for me, which happens a lot because of the Packer game, if you take 10 minutes, you can find a stream of it online.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay. I've never attempted to do that.
Well, you don't
before.
Have to. I mean, all the games are local for you.
Right. But if I wanted to watch, say, Steelers Ravens and it wasn't shown here locally.
Yeah. Front Row Sports.
Oh, okay. Nice plug. It's, I don't know. Part of me is like, yeah, fuck you, NFL. What? And then another part of me is like, well, it's a business, man. I mean, they're in it for one reason, to make money. They really don't care about the fans. It's all about making money.
Well, look at the other sports leagues. I don't know how it is for all of them, but I know some of them, at least the playoffs and possibly even the championship series, are on ESPN. They are not on or TNT or TBS.
I did not watch any of the college playoffs or the championship game because I don't have cable. Now, that may change when we get rid of Disney and go to Hulu and Disney. But I don't know. I really don't care. Kind of like the, you know, Brewers and Bucks. You need Bally Sports or you need TNT to watch the playoffs. I'm not getting that. I don't care enough. So, I don't know. And then, do you remember when we were kids and you didn't know if you were going to have a snow day and you were up at 6 o'clock in the morning watching the crawl on the news to see if your school was closed or not?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, now they announce it at like 3 o'clock the day before.
In the afternoon or in the morning?
Yes.
In the afternoon?
In the afternoon. We had a snow day on Tuesday and they let us know about it at 3 p.m. on Monday. And we have a snow day tomorrow and they let us know about it at 3 o'clock today. Now, tomorrow we're supposed to get a foot of snow. But on Tuesday, we got 5.5 inches of snow. And trust me, I know what 5.5 inches feels like. I mean, looks like.
Okay. Yeah.
They could have totally. You know what? You're supposed to laugh at that.
Oh, sorry. There you go.
So they should have gone to school on Tuesday. Tomorrow, I don't know. It's a wild card. What do you do with your old tablets and phones?
Half of them are sitting on top of the refrigerator. Half of them are in a drawer.
Okay. Do you have ones that don't work?
I think all of them work.
Okay. I have two iPads that don't work.
Okay.
I don't know what to do with them. I mean, I guess I could probably send them back to Apple. I don't know if they have a recycle program.
You can drop them off at Best Buy. They have a recycle thing.
Oh, they do.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then I was getting a haircut yesterday at Sports Clips and a noise came from this guy's jacket. This was the noise. And let me see if you know what it is.
Legs spreading and they're floating across the snow.
Yes. Yeah. And the guy sitting by the jacket was startled and he looked at it. And he goes, "What was that?" I'm like, "Oh, that was the Imperial Probe droid from Empire Strikes Back." I didn't sound like that, but I'm sure that that's what I sounded like to that guy.
Yes. Okay.
That's it. That's all I got, man.
Okay. One of my kids is back at school. Mm-hmm. So slowly getting back to the empty nest thing. But my son that's at school has to actually come back tomorrow because both of my kids had minor medical stuff with that had stitches, and they're not self-dissolving stitches. They're stitches that actually have to be taken out. So he's coming back to get his stitches out. But for this,
couldn't he just do that himself? I used to take out my own stitches.
Probably, but he wouldn't. The younger one probably would.
Okay.
But there's the whole car situation, and it was supposed to snow here. It really, really didn't. And I said to my youngest, who's still at home, I said, if you want a car this week that is almost over, you will have to go and get him either Thursday night or Friday morning. And he said, no, he can take the car. Because he was not willing to make that sacrifice to drive down there to get him.
Okay.
So he should have been without a car. And, you know, he asked if he could use my car. And I said, no. I said, why not? I'm like, because you made a decision. You made a choice. You made a choice not to help me, so I'm not going to help you.
Ah, okay.
And then I got a phone call. So my son used my car today.
Oh, mama overrode?
Well, it was, he actually did need it for one thing. He did need to go get his stitches from his wisdom teeth out. But okay. I also let him take it golfing because it's not worth the debate.
All right.
New season means new logo. And I realized I have fucked up almost every single logo that we've had. And I did not know it until today.
Oh, really?
Yes. Did you look at the logo?
I did.
Yeah. When you are looking at a reflection of something, it should be reversed.
Oh, I don't think anybody really cares about that, Matt.
Okay. So my mom and my wife are fairly close, and they talk about just about everything. Sometimes they talk about stuff, frankly, makes me a little uncomfortable, especially when you're not around.
They talk about your hemorrhoids?
You're in the ballpark. So my mom was talking to Jen about if I ever had VD when I was younger.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, Mom, it's supposed to be on the DL. But as we've talked about on this podcast before, I have never had VD. If I had it, whatever, I would say I had VD. It's not that big of a fucking deal.
Okay. But I had crabs.
Yeah.
And we talked about that on the podcast?
Yeah, we talked about that on podcast.
We did talk about it on the podcast. A long time. I mean, I was 19, and it was not from sex. It was from just, she either had them in her hair, on her head, or they were in her crotch, and we were just grinding. So, and they jumped ship.
But it's like, there are some things that, I know she's my mom, but, and I know she's my wife, but it just seems like there's got to be some line somewhere.
Yeah, a little bit of decorum there. Yeah.
Hockey started, so that was good. Got our first win, which took us 10 games last season, or last session, so that was good. But yesterday, I'm driving home, and I thought I might be having a stroke.
Okay.
Because my arm, it was just, it felt like I'd been lifting like really super heavy weights, and my arm was all sore, and I was having a hard time lifting it.
Is this after hockey?
No, this was just in the middle of the week.
Maybe you should go to the doctor and have that taken a look at. Have them take a look at it, man.
That's fine.
Jesus.
My son texted me yesterday, and he said, do you have any memory cards that I can put in my iPhone? I just sent him back a question mark. My phone is out of memory. I need to put in another chip in it. Yeah, you can't do that.
That's not how that works, man.
It's not how iPhones work. But I don't think I talked about our alarm system at all. Have I in the last couple of weeks?
Your
home security?
Home security. No, you have not.
All right, so it started chirping every 20 minutes.
Mm.
And it had some kind of error code on it. But if you put in the code, it stops chirping for a day.
Okay.
But we had to have a tech come out and look at it. And we got this alarm system with the house. So this alarm system is 22 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out and, man, I haven't seen one of these. yeah, we don't have any parts for this. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Can you fix it or what? He's like, no, you can't fix it. There's no replacements. You're going to have to get a new unit. Okay. It's another guy has to come out. That guy comes out today. I'm figuring the guy's going to come out. He's going to give me a couple different options, and then he's going to install it. No, the guy today just came out to see what I wanted.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It's going to take three different times that somebody has to come to get our new alarm system installed.
That's great.
But the last thing is...
To piggyback off of that, we just installed a Blink camera system.
Okay.
Which is, you know, you get the three cameras, you set them up, it's on your phone. But, you know, every time I let the dog out and every time I let the dog in, I get a notification on my phone. So, I mean, it's just... Thank goodness I haven't caught anybody yet doing something bad on my phone. I've got, like, you know, 250, like, 4-second clips of my dog.
Sure.
Which I delete as I go along, but, yeah.
Now, we have, but since I was home today, and actually it's Thursday, so I'd have been home anyway, and my son was home, and he was eating breakfast as I was doing a meeting from the breakfast table, and he got to see what I do.
Was it like take your son to work day?
No, it was at home.
I know that, but still, it's like take your son to work day. He got to see what you do.
Sure. And I think in a way he was impressed just because of how I was the person who ran everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he said, you seem to get a little frustrated. I'm like, yeah, I do. It can be frustrating sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But that's all I got. So ready to move on?
I am.
Matt and Doug are at it again. Guess that sound and you are awesome. What movie will it be from? I really want to know.
This is three clips we have done. You'll probably get it. I don't think I would have gotten it. I definitely would have gotten it on the second clip.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
No! Please stop! Please stop!
Who's the U-boat commander? Or
yes. Yes. I forgot about that. Yes, it's the repair shop guy who says that, right?
Yep. Or
get off the babysitter.
Yeah, I pulled that clip up real quick.
Okay.
So I'll play the middle one and then I'll say what it is.
God. Get out the door! The keys are inside! Oh God! Please stop! Stop! Stop!
Okay, and then God.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You've been getting a lot of those lately.
Yep.
You had like three of them last week.
And you didn't mention them, and I appreciate it. No. So fuck off.
Portia, there is no substitute.
Fuck you.
The dream is always the same.
Mm-hmm. Risky business.
Yes. It's
when the Porsche goes into the water.
Okay, so ready for the movie itself?
Yes, I did this song. It was either this one or it was going to be Mama, 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 Alone. Okay. Your sweet mustache. Your sweet mustache. But I went with this instead.
Wants that land, he is a patriot.
Sooner or later they're gonna clash. Joe just wants that ass. Let's hear it for Malone. Let's hear it for his staff. Let's hear it for those heaters, those Campbell filter lamps.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This week we are doing a movie you have probably never even heard of. Malone, released May 1st, 1987, on a $10 million budget. It only grossed $3 million. It had a 29% Rotten Tomato critic score and a 35% Rotten Tomato audience score. Directed by Harley Kokelis, best known for directing episodes of Xena and Hercules. Starring Burt Reynolds, best known for putting an arrow through a guy's neck that made Otis squeal like a pig. Cliff Robertson, best known for telling Peter that with great power comes great responsibility. Scott Wilson, best known for playing Herschel in The Walking Dead, and Cynthia Gibb, best known for getting naked and having unsimulated sex with Rob Lowe in Youngblood. Oh, also starring Lauren Hutton, best known for being Michael Strahan's half-sister, and a bunch of those guys. A shit ton of, and I'm doing the finger quotes, those guys.
She did not have her gap in this.
She did not. She must have had it fixed. So I dated a girl, and then she went off to college, and this girl had a gap. And when she came back, she had had the gap fixed. And it kind of threw me off a little bit. That, well, that and the hairy nipples.
No. Oh. Okay. But, you know, this film, if this film was not, if there was no date around this film, if this film existed in a vacuum.
Okay.
You would say this film rips off this film, this film, this film, and this film.
Mm-hmm.
However, it actually came out before this film, this film, this film, and this film. However, this film, this film, this film, and this film did it much better than this film does.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they say that this is kind of a ripoff of Shane, which Pale Rider was a ripoff of Shane. I mean, there's, it's, here it is, that word that I'm going to have problems with that you had to correct me like your son last week. Formulaic.
That's good. That's right.
Okay. It's very formulaic. It's guy rolls in the town, unsuspecting of any problem. There's a baron of some sort or a bank owner or the sheriff that is just being a general dick or wants something from the townspeople and he's driving people out. And this guy comes in and saves the day.
So it's Roadhouse.
Sure.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
It's also First Blood.
No, it's not. It's not First Blood.
The end? The cat and mouse part of it?
Okay. Well, okay. That could be any movie, though, man. There's lots of cat and mouse stuff.
Well, it also happens in Roadhouse. So it's another reason that it is a Roadhouse borrows from this, I guess you could say.
Yes. So you'd never even heard of this film?
Never heard of it. No. And okay. This was Burt Reynolds' kind of down period.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, so there was a series of books, and I think we've talked about them, called The Executioner.
I don't know. I know that there was.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It was based on a book, okay. But it was not based on the book series that a lot of people thought it was, based on the gun that he uses.
Right. Right, which is the 44 Auto Mag, which I believe shows up in Sudden Impact. Like, the guy. Okay, this is kind of like a.
Uh-oh, I think Doug ran out of battery power. So hold on a second. Okay, he's back, and you had just said something about Dirty Harry. You thought it was from Sudden Impact, and then you went away.
Okay, so. I think it's the original Dirty Harry movie where he has the gun pointed at a thug who's on the ground and he's going, now you're asking yourself, did he shoot 5 bullets or 6 bullets? And then says, do you feel lucky? Well, punk, do ya? And the guy that he's pointing that gun at, same actor, but different character, shows up in Sudden Impact while Dirty Harry is doing target practice on some ranch with his 44 Magnum. And this guy, the black guy in Sudden Impact, has a 44 Auto Mag, which is the gun that Burt Reynolds has in this movie.
Okay.
And I believe in the Dirty Harry movie, he shoots through like 2 pieces of steel.
He doesn't shoot through a school?
It shoots through schools.
But you had mentioned the budget in the box office. Mm-hmm. The thing you did not mention was Burt Reynolds' quote for this film.
His quote?
Yeah, what did he get paid for this film?
Oh, $3 million?
Yeah. So basically, it had as much box office as he got paid. So this movie lost money. Not a ton, but it lost money.
Yeah. So, like I had said last week, my weird algorithm on YouTube, all of a sudden a clip from this movie popped up, the barbershop scene. And I was intrigued. And after watching the barbershop scene and how graphic it was, I said, I think I want to watch the rest of that movie. So that's why we're doing it for the podcast.
But
so
as I said, it was in the kind of the downswing of his career. And I don't know where this was compared to Cop and a Half.
Who was the half in Cop and a Half?
It was a small kid.
Okay. Haley Joel Osment.
No, that was Little Forrest.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was Forrest Jr. Not Little Forrest. It was Forrest Jr. I'm sorry.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the movie starts. It's an Orion. Every time I see an Orion movie, it just takes me back to Scotland cinema, the cinema of sounds with the sticky floors.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why that does, but we see a float plane flying through the mountains, and immediately it cuts to it landing in a harbor in a large city. I have to imagine that this is Seattle.
Hong Kong.
It's not Hong Kong.
Big neon clock. But I thought this was Canada. And maybe it is because there's a Petrol Canada floating gas station.
Well, it was filmed in Canada.
Okay.
So, but I believe the location is Wyoming, where he goes to. I think that's Wyoming.
It's Washington. I think.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's Washington.
The IMDb says it was Wyoming. So, and then they show Wyoming later on in Cliff Robertson's computer screen. So, but there's a clock tower, and we see a sniper and a rifle, and we see a guy get off the plane, and it's Burt Reynolds alone, and the crosshair is on the dude that got out of the plane, and he decides not to shoot.
And yeah,
as a moment of conscience.
Yeah, but he looks old in this.
Well, he's 46 in this movie, I think, when this movie was shot.
Right. He looks older here than I think we do now.
Well, he also had an addiction problem. That came out in a book by Lonnie Anderson, that he had some issues. And the crazy thing is not a single cigarette is smoked in this entire movie.
Okay. He does turn down a heater at one point.
Once, but every other time he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and they're Camel filterless. And I think that was probably written into the script just so he could smoke all the time.
But
hey, it's Burt Reynolds. Hey, he's smoking again.
But as I said in my notes, HD does him no favors. And because I'm assuming you watched this on Prime.
I did.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. And then you went and put it on Plex. Why? Why? So you could watch it again some other time?
No, it's because Prime's interface on Apple TV is dog shit. You cannot scrub. You only can go 5 seconds at a time.
Oh, okay.
And the only way around that is to log onto your computer, get to where you want to be, log off of your computer, and go back to the Apple TV. And it's a pain in the ass.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But now he's walking with Lauren Hutton. And she does, like you said, she does not have her signature tooth cap. And they have this quick conversation.
I think it's time for you to get some help.
Why?
Because you can't do your job anymore.
And because I let that man live a couple of days longer?
That man is one of the worst bastards.
I don't care. I want out.
What are you going to tell the company?
Goodbye.
You know too much. One of the first things you taught me is that nobody just walks away.
Watch me.
And what is the next thing he does?
He burns his license. And what's the name on it?
That one I don't know. I know the one at the end.
John Haggerty.
Okay. But you've already mentioned it, but I'm still going to ask the question. Do you have Wigdar?
Do I have Wigdar?
Yes.
Not really. No. But I just know that he had a toupee in this movie.
It was kind of obvious.
A little bit.
But then we see a sports car driving on a bridge. And it's way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, some Western scenery, and he's on a dirt road.
Yep, my favorite type of road, yep.
A dirt road?
Yeah. Love going down the dirt road.
Yes. Car stops, he gets out, checks the hood, and he has to push it.
So if your car dies.
Yeah.
And say you're up north, for example, and you're in that 10-mile drive to go to the Goose.
Okay.
Do you pop your hood?
If my car just dies?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Well, I that's why I was asking, because I would pop the hood of my car, and all I'd be able to say is, yep, there's an engine in there.
Yep. That's where you put the oil. That's where you put the windshield washer fluid. Yep. There's a battery.
But yeah, I even in the car here, obviously, this is an older car. It's a 69.
Is it a Mustang or is it a Camaro?
It's a Mustang.
Okay. That's
69 fastback.
All right.
But he's pushing the car.
Yes.
And he's pushing it to a gas station, and there's a truck that is leaving the gas station, and it's loaded with beds and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. And yeah. These are obviously people that are leaving town because they've been pushed out by the main bad guy.
And Youngblood's Chippy is there, and she says this to the truck as it is leaving.
Goodbye, I'll miss you!
Another one of your favorite movies?
Yes. Will I be able to shoehorn in a Can't Buy Me Love clip today?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. But she sees Malone, and she gets over to him, and she says, "You push, I'll steer."
And then he says that it's a 69, and what does she respond to that?
Oh, that's older than me. He goes, I got socks older than you, sweetheart. And she smiles at him. God damn, is she cute. She is so cute.
At this point in the movie, I question, is this going to be a creepy movie? And to be honest, yes, it is.
Well, that's what happens in Shane. And that's what happens in Pale Rider, is the young girl falls for our hero.
It made my skin crawl a little bit.
Okay.
It reminded me of the Colonel.
The Colonel. Are you my friend, Jack?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. But we see Scott Wilson, who was in The Right Stuff and, like I said, The Walking Dead. He was Chuck Yeager's, the guy he was competing against
okay.
In The Right Stuff. Yes. And he's the gas station attendant, sees the car roll in. Looks like you got a problem. And Malone says, I think it's the transmission. Well, start it up. Yep, it's the transmission.
Yeah, you're missing a thing, though. He comes limping out of the office.
Oh, that's right. He's limping. Does he have a cane?
Yes. He's a cripple, and we find out that it's partially due to Vietnam. But he has Malone start it, and he immediately has him turn it off. Yeah, it's transmission. And before he starts it, he goes to start it, but Joe, who is the daughter, is fucking around with the tapes in the car. She just cannot mind her own business at all in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he says, yeah, it's transmission. And there's a conversation. Oh, you know cars. How the fuck would he know that from that?
I don't know, man.
But we get everybody's names.
Yes. The guy, the gas station attendant is Paul. Daughter is Joe. Malone is Malone.
Got a first name?
Yeah.
And then that's it. Doesn't ever say what it is. But he smiles as a car is just tearing up.
I think that's a Tornado.
I believe you might be right.
Yes. And this is Madrid. I call him Tornado Guy for a while, but it's Madrid. He rolls in, and Paul tells Joe to see what he wants.
Get the window. Still here, Barlow? Man's offering you more than 10 times what this place is worth.
I'm just stubborn, I guess.
Stubborn and ignorant. Mr. Delaney's a patient man, but I wouldn't push him too far. Put it on the tab.
What exactly is being put on his tab?
The window washer fluid.
Yeah, is there a charge for cleaning the windows?
I don't think so. No.
But I'm thinking here, maybe, just maybe, if he wasn't driving like such a douchebag, his windows would be clean because yeah, he just perhaps. Tears out of there. And there's just a hint, just an RCH of tires squealing on dirt.
Is there? Okay. It comes you always catch that. Later. I do not.
Yeah. It comes up. Well, it's one of my favorite. It's my slow motion.
Okay.
But there, Malone and Paul are talking about it's a beautiful country. Yep. But there's a problem. Even though they know what's wrong with the car, what is the problem that Paul has?
Well, he doesn't have the part and he could order it. But the fastest way is to have it towed, but they'll charge you an arm and a leg. And Malone says, I'm not in a hurry. And then he asks about a motel. Well, the motel closed down a while back. Okay, well, I'll sleep in my car.
You'll freeze before you hit the first marker.
Then I'll see you in hell.
But Joe is going into town and asks Paul for a list. And Malone wants to go with her. And every time the two of them are alone, got a little worried.
Did you?
But she says, okay, hurry up. And
well, he needs a razor. That's why he's coming with her.
Okay. But they're in the beautiful penises Jeep on the way into town. And we see a sign. Nothing is said about it, but they pass a sign that says property being recently purchased by Delaney Corp or whatever.
Yeah.
And she asks why he's there. Is he there for the fishing?
I don't know how to fish.
Just traveling through them.
Yeah, they pass some more boarded up buildings.
Go over the bridge of Madison County. Yep.
Yes. More buildings. See a couple of guys in suits. And then he asks what happened to the town. And she mentioned that this guy Delaney moved in and is trying to buy up everything.
But he says that he's moving around here and there. And she said, that sounds great. And he says, isn't one place just like another?
Mm-hmm.
But she wouldn't know because where is the only place she's been other than Washington?
Wyoming?
No, it's where her mom was from.
Oh, where's her mom from?
I would like to have seen Montana.
Oh.
See, I have clips. They're just none of them are from the film.
No, I saw that.
Yeah, her mom's dead.
Okay, yes. But he lights a heater and they pull up to the grocery store and we see some rough looking fellas. One of them is Bob from Batman. And the fat guy, was he Michael Ironside's partner in V? The Return? Remember they had the Uzi? Yeah, the final battle. They have the mini Uzis with the armor piercing bullets.
It might be. I get him and the guy who played Tiny confused.
Which one's Tiny? From Roadhouse?
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
And I actually call him Tiny, even though I know it's not him.
Okay.
But
yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in V, the final battle.
But Joe is talking to her friend and the friend gives Malone the once over as she walks away.
And she goes, oh, he's cute.
But we're back at the homestead and Paul gives us an info dump.
Bollards have always been wild. They're really outdoing themselves since they hired on with Delaney.
There's that name again.
Heard a lot lately. Came to town about a year ago. Started buying everything he could get his hands on. People were real excited. They thought he was going to reopen the mine. Well, mine never opened. He kept right on buying. Over half the town's left now. More leaving every day. I can't figure it out. Let's go get some supper.
All right.
And I don't know what they're complaining about. He did bring a JCPenney to them.
What's that from?
Roadhouse. Jeez. Talk about Roadhouse a little bit in here.
A little bit.
But we find out Paul was in the military, and that's where he learned to cook. But Joe actually would prefer nothing fancy. She'd rather have hamburgers like normal people.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man, all this Roadhouse talk got me all distracted.
Paul's talking about the car, and he can use some help.
Yeah, and he wouldn't charge him for working on his own car?
Yeah, Malone says, we'll help. I can't charge you for working on your own car.
Yeah.
And I actually know...
Go ahead.
I know a guy who actually worked on the construction crew that built his house. So he got paid to build his house.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And I mean, it would be kind of cool if you had nothing else going on because you're there every day and you're making sure that nobody's cutting any corners or anything.
Or backfilling along the foundation with empty cans of chew and Mountain Dew bottles.
But they talk about the whole idea of Malone sleeping in his car. And what does Paul say?
Well, no. You can sleep in the spare room. And Joe's panties immediately get wet.
I swear to God, you could drown a toddler in my panties right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next day, they're working on the car. And she goes into his room and is snooping through his stuff. And, well, she opens up the top dresser drawer, and Matt needs to take Burt Reynolds' underwear shopping.
Yep.
I mean, he's not staying there that long, but he's got like 8 or 9 pair of tighty whities all nicely folded in the drawer.
Yeah, all of his clothes look brand new.
Yes.
I mean, all of his socks, do you ball your socks?
I do.
So I ball my socks as well, but they're perfect.
Yes.
And go ahead and say it, Doug, but most of the drawers are empty.
Uh-huh.
And downstairs, they're talking about the car, but what does she find in a shirt pocket in the wardrobe?
A big wad of cash.
Yeah, just a gangster roll.
Yes, and also it's the doorway to Narnia.
Okay.
It's where she finds a bag under the bed, and it's a lockbox, and then she finds the keys and opens it up, and there is the .44 Auto Mag. Big-ass pistol.
And the thing I appreciated about this movie is they actually show good gun discipline with when firearms are handled. Because when she picks up the gun, she points the barrel right at her face.
Yeah.
But there's a car honking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a truck pulls in. She hastily puts it away and opens the door, and he's there with a stern look on his face. And she says, oh, you didn't make your bed. I came up to do it.
Smell his sheets. Yep.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looks
around. Oh, yeah.
So she pumps gas for an old guy who pays and drives away. And Joe goes to talk to her dad, and she wants to know how long it's going to take to fix the car.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have that answer.
Couple days. Then he goes. Yep.
Hmm?
Good. But we see a car driving out of town in a U-Haul. And then
more people leaving. And now we have two cars meeting, and it's Bob. Well, I shouldn't say it's, what are they, what's the name of the brothers, the Ballyard brothers or the,
yeah, the Ballyard brothers. Yeah. One of the henchmen says that he can do it to Madrid, and Madrid says this to Ballard.
Remember, you are my number one guy.
It's weird. He popped up in another movie I watched this week, just yeah, randomly.
Yeah. But now Paul and Malone, they're working on a tractor engine. And Paul asks, how'd you learn about this? And he says, well, my dad had one. How many acres did he have? But before Malone can answer, an angry guy on a bike comes in and asks about his tractor.
He's bitching about the tractor.
Yeah. You said I'd have it today. And I will.
And the guy calms down immediately.
Well, yeah, and so he should. But he's all worked up about, he kind of apologizes to Paul. He's more worked up about Delaney. And then Paul asks him, if you're not going to sell, are you? But Malone sees Joe walking and a car coming. And the guy in the bike bikes away. But the car that's coming veers and makes the other car that's coming
the other way. Yes.
Hit the guy in the bike, and we got some sweet slow motion action. And that car has the two Ballard boys. That's the name. The two guys from the grocery store.
The logistics of what they had to do to make this work out so that they could run this guy over. It's almost impossible that it would ever work out.
Yeah.
There's a million better ways to do this.
Sure.
But the sheriff shows up.
And he's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Did you see the original Dune with Patrick Stewart?
And Sting?
Yes.
No.
Okay. I think he's Sting's dad in Dune.
But yeah, the Ballard
boys.
He's either
Sting's dad or he's Sting's brother. And he's got all kinds of like pustules and stuff and ooze coming out of his face and out of his neck. He's pretty disgusting.
But the official story is some guy came barreling down the hill and the Ballard boys had to swerve and hit the poor guy, and Sheriff asks if Bob has been drinking. Well, he's hungover this morning, but nothing today.
Mm-hmm.
They asked to give him a field sobriety test, and then the sheriff asks Paul and Joe what happened, and Paul just doesn't say anything and walks away, and Joe doesn't kind of pull any punches when she talks to the sheriff.
Afternoon, Paul. Joe, what can you tell me?
Sorry. That's where Paul walks away.
Paul? Paul!
What? They killed him. They did it on purpose.
Wait a minute, Joe. What are you saying stuff like that? Sheriff,
Dan,
what the hell she's talking about?
She doesn't know what you said.
Shut your mouth, huh? Clinton.
Yes?
What are you trying to say?
Tom Riggs wouldn't sell out to Delaney. And those two do his dirty work. Sheriff, everybody knows it's the truth. Why are we standing around here pretending that it's not?
Look, honey.
Don't call me honey.
Joe, you have every reason to be upset. But if this wasn't an accident, I'll find out. The Ballos aren't exactly the brightest boys that ever graced this community. I'd sure like to get my hands on that jackass in the other car.
So why don't you ask the man he was working for?
And where's Paul at this time?
Well, he's over by the cooler.
Icebox.
With Malone. Yep. Icebox. Didn't Diane... No.
Keaton?
No, not Cannon. Diane Keaton. No. Shelley Long say, don't call me honey in...
probably.
Night Shift?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what she said exactly. Don't call me sweetheart, I think.
Mm. Okay. But, yeah, he's over by the icebox with Malone, and the cop wants to talk to Malone, and he says, I don't think we've met. And he goes, well, we haven't.
Are you the fellow with the car trouble?
Yeah.
How do you, is there like a Facebook group for this town? So
yes.
Every little thing that happens pops up?
Yeah.
But the sheriff wants to know what he saw.
Yeah, nothing. I wasn't really paying attention.
Yep. Working on the tractor, heard a scream. And it's awesome. Yeah, real smart. And then Malone goes over to Joe and the scene just ends.
Mm-hmm. But that evening, Malone and Paul are sharing a heater. And Paul tells his Nam story and says, when were you there? 61.
A little
early, huh? not for what I was supposed to do.
Was he there with, not McCain, the other guy.
McCain.
The guy who ran against Bush. He's married to the heir to the Heinz fortune.
Bob Kerry? No.
John Kerry.
John Kerry. No, John Kerry was there like in the late 60s.
No, but he said that he gave his dates that he was in Nam, and officially we were not there then where he said he was.
Oh, well, there's pictures of him in swift boats and stuff.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I believe that he was in Vietnam. Oh,
I believe he was there too, but it's like his facts were a little bit screwed up, or he dropped some truth that he wasn't supposed to.
Okay.
And can he talk about that though? Can Malone talk about the fact that he was in Nam in 61?
Working for the CIA. Well, actually, I don't know if he was in the CIA.
He was. He was part of the company. Yep. Because that's actually what Lauren Hutton refers to it as, the company, and that is what the CIA is called. And when we get the little dump on the computer of what he did, it talks about the CIA.
Yes.
But where are we now?
The funeral.
At a cemetery, or actually a set for a high school play or Boy Scout camp.
Okay.
It is the least realistic looking cemetery ever, because apparently only 3 people have ever died in that town.
Well, you could say the same thing about the cemetery in Superman, the motion picture, when Clark Kent's dad dies.
Well, that's probably on his farm.
Maybe, perhaps.
But how many days later is this? Or
I don't know.
Is it just like in Varsity Blues, they do surgery the same day? In the middle of nowhere, they have funerals the same day?
They have funerals the same day? Yes. Yeah. But a guy comes over and talks to Paul, and he says that he talked to the remaining families and not selling. And Malone notices the sheriff kind of acting a little weird.
Yeah. Why is Malone at the funeral?
I don't know.
Because he had nothing to do.
He had nothing to do. He was out of heaters, so he couldn't lie in bed and smoke a heater.
But now we cut to where?
Los Angeles. And a taxi pulls up. And there's no reason whatsoever for this scene in this movie.
I don't understand what this scene means.
No, it doesn't. There's no reason whatsoever because this guy's story doesn't really pay off at all.
Maybe it's just supposed to be an introduction to the guy you refer to as the assassin.
Yeah.
But the taxi pulls up, we see shoes, then more shoes going upstairs, also a briefcase, the guy from behind. Then we finally see him and he's a little weird looking.
A little bit.
He's perfect for this role, but he asks the guy if he is a reverend. And I think this is where your clip goes.
It is.
Reverend Holmby?
Yes.
I represent a very wealthy individual who wishes to remain anonymous. He feels you and your organization are making a genuine change in this great country of ours.
Well, we try.
And he wishes to make a substantial contribution to your cause.
We know.
Other than confirming that the guy is the reverend, why would he say any of the rest of that stuff?
I don't know. Just walk up to there and just shoot the guy. Just shoot him. Yes.
Now there's another cab. And where's this cab pulling up to?
Well, this is Delaney's place.
Yes.
And Madrid is there to greet the assassin, this guy. And he says, "Welcome back, Patterson. We all missed you." And he goes to see Delaney, who is inside the house. Something.
There's a little bit of a hierarchy here. Because the assassin comes back. Madrid says, "Hey, we missed you." And the only thing the assassin says to Madrid is, "Get the bags."
Okay.
And then the assassin walks away. And then Madrid turns to the other guys and says, "Yeah, get the bags."
Yeah.
So there's definitely a hierarchy here. But in the Yellowstone ranch house, we get our first sighting of Cliff Robertson.
Yeah, is he selling AT&T? Is that what he sold? Was it 18?
You might be right. I don't know, but that sounds right.
Okay. And he sits and Patterson tells him, "It's done. Excellent." And then that's it. That's the end of that scene. And Joe comes. We cut back to the farmhouse.
Yep. I just call it the homestead, but yep.
Okay. And Joe is outside in a bathrobe and Malone is having a heater.
For a change. Yep.
Yeah. Couldn't sleep. Bad dreams.
But what?
And then she asks him this question.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought you had something else.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Are you a criminal?
When did you find my gun?
Well, are you?
I'm sure you could find some people who think so. What do you think?
No.
Good. And he smiles at her, and this movie is really, really creeping me out.
Okay.
And I refer to it as the Hefner thing.
Okay. How come?
When we were younger, and maybe you didn't feel this way, but I did. When I was, say, like 30 years old, and at that point, Hefner was probably 60.
Okay.
And he's banging Playmates. I'm like, man, that's awesome. That's so cool. This guy is the shit. But as I started getting older and Hefner got older and the girls all stayed the same age, this is really, really fucking creepy that you have this fucking, you know, ghoul, the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt is banging these Playmates. 20
something. Yes.
If 20 something, it's just creepy. And, but she goes and she,
okay. If you were that age and you were banging 20 year olds, would it be creepy?
Not to me.
No,
but I mean, be creepy to everybody else in the world.
Sure.
But she goes and she leans on the Terrafill. And then she leaves saying goodnight.
Yes.
Terrafil. And
they what's the terrafil?
That's what the railing on a ship is called.
Oh, I thought it was a taffrail.
Oh, you're right. You're right. So copy and paste there.
Like, terrafil.
But Malone is having a pedo jerk as he's sucking on a heater.
Yes. But now we cut to Delaney at the Delaney's house, and there's a big U.S. flag above the fireplace, and there's a group of people there that he is talking to.
Good evening. Be seated, please. Well, congratulations. You have completed the final phase of your leadership training. Upon returning to your regional sectors, you will implement your classes with what you have learned here these past few weeks. And remember, ours is an American cause. We are determined to set this country right. And that will take time and sacrifice. Thomas Jefferson said, "The tree of freedom must be nourished from time to time with blood from its patriots." You are patriots, all. Please stand and repeat after me.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Dedicate my body, my brain, and my soul.
Dedicate my body, my brain, and my soul.
To our sacred covenant.
To our sacred covenant.
Even in the face of torture and death.
Even in the face of torture and death.
I will not divulge the intentions or the names of my brothers and sisters.
So I was going to say they had an alternate take of this scene, and it went like this.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Mine goes all the way to like with fraternity, liberty and fraternity for all. And then you say amen. Yeah. So.
Okay.
So I did have that as well.
Fucked up minds think alike, don't they?
But the next day, there's a meeting between Delaney and some congressmen.
Congressmen or senators. Yes. It's a catered lunch in the mountains, silver and nice linen. And there's five guys there, including Delaney. And every single one of them is wearing a stupid hat.
And one of them is asking where the hookers are.
Yeah. In my notes, one wants some bitches. And they want Delaney to run for Senate. And he says, if nominated, I will run to Mexico. The place for me is right here in this valley.
Well, he also says if he wins, he'll fight extradition. And I'm thinking, well, he wouldn't be the worst senator we have.
No.
But no, meanwhile, Malone has decided to walk Joe home from school. They're walking over a bridge, and she says that she...
It's the bridge of Madison County.
Yeah. I don't know if that is... That actually seems like a larger bridge.
Yes. But she goes, "My dad likes you." And Malone goes, "Well, I like him."
Well, and she said that nobody's ever stayed at the house before. And then a red pickup kind of pulls past them.
Yes.
And one of them, it's tiny, says
it's
this
the
to her.
It's the fat baller brother.
Hey, Joe, want to have some fun? Going to Brockton.
No, thanks.
Matter, honey, don't you love me anymore? Well, that's okay. As long as this jerk you're with, you'll drop your little panties anytime I tell you to.
Yeah, that's creepy as well.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But they stop about 40 or 50 feet ahead of Joe and Malone. And Malone approaches, and Tiny, or the fat baller brother, says, "I'm going to teach you some manners, mister. What's your name?" And Malone just goes, "Get out of the way." And, "What's your name?" And he goes, "Malone." And he goes, "Well, it's too late. You insulted me." And Malone moves Joe out of the way.
When he tries to de-escalate it. He says, "Sorry about that." And then Tiny says, "If I say you insulted me, you insulted me." And that's when Malone kind of, I say pushes, but he just kind of shuffles Joe back behind.
Yeah.
And then what does he do?
Well, the fat baller brother takes a swing at him, and Malone just kicks his ass. You know, kicks him in the balls a couple of times, punches him in the nose. I mean, well, he uses a palm strike on his nose.
And he does the ear thing.
Yes. I mean, he fucks him up. And
it's a very, very poorly choreographed fight scene.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
I thought it was all right. I liked it. And he goes, "Anybody else?" And, well, nobody else takes him up on that. But back at the homestead, he's washing blood off
of his
hands.
No, they're not at the homestead. They're on the side of the fucking road, which I don't understand why there's water there.
Oh, is that, okay. I just have it. He's washing blood off of his hands. I just assumed that he was at the homestead.
Yeah, no, they're not, which confused me. It's like, why is there running water there? But Joe asks if he enjoyed that. And he pauses before he says no.
Yeah, and but you are good at it.
It's not the same thing.
It's a difference.
Like blowjobs.
Yeah, he got what he deserved. Maybe it was a little bit more than he deserved. Whoops. And took it a little too far.
She asks about his hand. And he's like, I'll be fine. I have another one.
Yeah. And, oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, because they're like by some old decrepit basketball hoop.
Yeah, he shoots something through the basket.
A rock.
It was a rock. Okay.
Yes. And then he goes, I'm getting too old for this.
You're not so old.
Yeah,
you have no idea.
Yeah.
We go back to Delaney, and he's asking Madrid about Malone. Don't know anything about him. But perhaps they can get Bob to take revenge for what happened to his brother.
Yeah. Get him, motivate him to get the answer. And then
the next day.
Is it the next day? Yeah, because they're back in town.
Because Malone was picking her up from school. So the next day they're back in town. And
They're at some sort of like diner or something, like a little diner with a little store.
Right.
And the bad guys are there. Madrid with Bob. And Madrid asks the doctor, how's the Fat Ballard brother going to be?
Hey, Doc. Dan.
Well, he's going to have to stay in the hospital. I've done all I can under the circumstances. But, well, his jaw's broken. Both ears are badly damaged. The genitalia are still swollen, which means we may have some permanent damage there.
He is going to be okay, ain't he?
No, he's not going to be okay.
I question here.
Mm-hmm.
Is the doctor at all exaggerating how bad it is at the request of Madrid, or is this legitimately how bad it is?
I think it's how bad it is.
Okay. But someone asks Tiny, well, I ask what Tiny did that made Malone so mad. Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And Madrid is just goading him on. And during this whole scene, there's a fly that's going around Madrid, which I thought was kind of funny.
What was the movie where the fly went in the guy's mouth?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. Madrid, this guy, Bob, is actually, his name is Calvin. And Calvin is drinking a beer, and Madrid is kind of egging Calvin on and then says, get him another beer.
Yeah. No outsider can come in here and fuck up a Ballard brother. And now Paul and Malone drive into town, and Madrid slides a pistol over to Bob.
Yeah.
And what are Paul and Malone in town for?
To see the barber.
The barber asks about the car. There's nothing that happens in this town.
Everybody knows what's going on in this town. But yeah, Paul's getting a trim, and Mike Malone is reading the newspaper, and Calvin stumbles in.
He staggers out of the bar, gun in hand, and he is moseying across the street. And about 10, 15 feet behind him is Madrid and another unnamed fat guy, and then a third henchman. And Calvin, I guess, pauses, and he gathers his wits, and then he walks in as Madrid is kind of watching from almost the middle of the street. And Paul and the barber see the gun right away.
Mm-hmm.
But Malone is not facing Calvin, but he sees it through a mirror because his back is turned to him.
Yes.
And then there is what you refer to as the incident at the barbershop.
And this is the scene from
YouTube?
The YouTube that I saw.
That was my brother you almost killed. You know he can't have children now.
That could be a blessing.
Get your ass out of that chair.
Calvin, please.
Shut up, Andy! I set up, you son of a bitch.
You're acting stupid.
Stupid? Stupid, am I? You want in the back? I swear, I don't much like it that way.
You're making a mistake.
What if I blow your fucking head off right now? How would that be, huh?
You know what I got underneath this newspaper?
What you got under that newspaper?
A raging erection.
How do I know you're not bluffing?
You don't.
Andy, I want you to walk up to this newspaper, tell me exactly what he's got underneath there.
About 6 inches.
I bet all you find is his pecker and a teeny one at that.
Atta boy, Calvin. Don't let him mess with you.
Hurry up, Andy.
Calvin, I...
God damn it, don't argue with me. Just do it, Andy.
I wouldn't do that, Andy.
You're liable to stop a bullet.
You ain't got nothing under there.
Why don't you come and take a look?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
When Calvin walks out, I wish I had pulled, and I could have dropped it a couple times into that clip, the Burt Reynolds laugh.
Yeah, just listening to that sound, that clip kind of at the end, it's a little creepy.
But Bob or Calvin walks out, and Madrid calls him a chicken shit.
Yeah.
Which prompts him to run back into...
Well, hold on a sec. Before that, though, Malone removes the newspaper and shows Paul and the barber it was just his finger.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of...
Yes. And now he runs in firing at the empty chair.
Just shooting blindly.
Uh-huh. And Malone is there with his .44, tells him to put it down. And Calvin turns to shoot at him, and Malone fires and basically blows out his entire back.
Give credit where credit is due. Malone gives him a chance to drop the gun.
Yeah.
But now we're at the cop shop, and the sheriff is looking at Malone's license.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're a long way from home.
Virginia, huh?
And why do you have a post office box for an address? Which actually, when they show the license, he does not have a post office box for an address.
Oh, no. Okay.
He moves around a lot.
Yeah, but Delaney comes and gets him, the deputy comes and gets him, and Delaney is there and wants to ask Malone some questions. And before the sheriff can even answer, he just kind of shuffles past him.
Yeah, but you're missing something that's very important.
What's that?
The sheriff gives the other cop the license and tells him to run it.
Oh, okay.
And that, but when the sheriff goes in to talk to Delaney, Delaney's on the sheriff's phone. And then, yeah, you're right. He just blows by the sheriff, and he and Malone talk in the interview room. I got to change pages.
You're Delaney. Right. And you're Malone, right? May I sit down?
Sure.
Thank you. Well, Richard, do you mind if I call you Richard?
Go right in.
Good. This valley is so far away, I was just wondering what...
Your first name is?
Charles. Just wonder what brought you here.
My car?
Uh-huh.
Broke down.
Really? What really brought you here, Richard?
I came here.
To kill me. Right?
Are you so important?
No. No, I'm not. You might say I'm in the survivor business. I encourage people to fight for their rights like our forefathers. There are some who might be threatened by that. Might want me to stop. Might try to stop me.
And those people would be against truth and justice and the American way.
I think so, yes. How about you?
Right now, I'm only concerned with my problem.
You got one. You got one, but you're not alone. I've known other men, good men like you, that had similar problems. They were just temporarily lost in the wilderness. They were samurais without a master.
I've decided not to have a master anymore.
You shouldn't. You should work with someone, not for someone.
Someone like you.
Possibly. Otherwise, you're a loose cannon on the deck. Powerful, but without direction. You know, there could be a great future for a man like you right here in this very valley. You might become a true patriot.
By whose definition?
Oh, among others, Henry James. Wasn't he the one that said patriotism, like charity,
begins at home?
Here we go.
So Delaney is paranoid.
Yes, he thinks that Malone is there to take him out.
Right, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, man. He's just driving through town.
But
car broke down.
Delaney walks out and he talks to the sheriff.
Yeah, how much you got on him? Not enough to let him go.
Not enough to hold him.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
Do you have some string cheese again?
No, man, I was having some Cheez-Its. It's a long clip. Get hungry during those long clips.
I mean, Delaney does not dress like a billionaire.
No.
And when you look at the other people that surround Delaney throughout this film, he is the only one that is not in either a suit or a three-piece suit the entire time.
Sure.
But Delaney says it's a pity. Interesting man. And Madrid wants to know if he should take care of him. No.
No. Give him the respect he deserves. Call New York.
And then we see the request going out on the teletype, which was from the sheriff telling the deputy to run his information. And then now where do we cut to?
CIA headquarters in Langley.
And Jamie, who we saw at the very beginning of the film, is at the firing range. And
yeah, she's wearing some mom jeans.
And how does she shoot?
Well, just like a woman. Yeah, her boss comes and tells her about Malone turning up.
Yeah, did you know what the boss asked her originally?
No.
Is he the man?
That's not him.
Kind of looks like him.
Is this the man who wrecked the buffet?
It's a hero club this morning.
It's a hero club.
But he says that their wandering friend showed up.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Do you understand what this means?
Yeah, they're calling in a hit, basically.
Yeah, could send two guys, but that could have bad ramification for those two guys.
Right. And so he's going to send her, and then he actually gives her something.
Yeah.
What is it you have in mind, Mr. Houseman?
Coat the inside of a drinking glass. It dries in seconds. It's perfectly transparent, without taste or smell. Death comes in the first minute of natural causes.
Just like Sinead O'Connor.
56 years old?
Yeah, that bothered me a little bit.
Yeah.
When I'm seeing people die of natural causes that are close in age to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other people are saying, well, you can die of natural causes at 21. Well, yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes back to shooting.
But what she gives him, or this guy gives her, it's a little vial of clear liquid. And in my notes, I said, is Malone going to pull the old switcheroo where she makes two drinks? And when she's not looking, he goes, hey, look, there's Santa Claus. And when she goes, look, he switches the drinks on her.
Well, he taught her everything she knows.
Right, right. But now we're back in town. The cop car comes in.
No, the cop car is taking Malone back out to the homestead.
Cop car back to town. Oh,
no.
Oh,
he says, if you come back into town without telling
without me, I'll notifying toss you in jail. Me. Yeah, I'll throw your ass in jail.
Can he do that?
He's the sheriff in a little podunk town. I think he can pretty much do anything he wants.
But what does Malone respond to him when he says that?
Yes, sir. And no more guns.
Why are you pushing me?
But he says he doesn't have any more guns.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're going to find out. And now they are tossing his room.
Did they find all his wigs? And actually, like, I was expecting them to find his banker's roll.
Okay.
But they do not.
Yes. Did they find like six cartons of Camel filterless?
Hopefully they saw those in town.
There was a guy. So when I was in high school, we had this cabin on this lake since I was five. And when I think I was a junior in high school, my dad moved across the bay to a bigger house, but in the old cabin, and it was a real like cabin in the woods. It was a log cabin. There was a guy that would come up there and he was married, and there was a lady that would come up there and she was married. And when we weren't there, that was like their meeting place. And this guy would keep a couple packs of Camel Filterless in the freezer.
And was it Al Nalda?
It was not Al Nalda.
Are you familiar with Seems Like Old Times?
It sounds familiar.
It was a play. It was a Neil Simon play, but they actually made a movie of it as well, where there's a man and a woman who meet at a cabin the same time every year.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah. Please continue.
But we would sneak, you know, a Camel Filterless out there and just about die. Well, Ear Penis's dad smoked Filterless Chesterfields.
If you are not a regular smoker and you try to fire down a Filterless Camel,
yeah,
that's going to be hard.
It is. And you're like spitting out little pieces of tobacco.
I mean, even if you smoke on the regular, you smoke lights or ultralights and you go to a Filterless, that's still going to be a tough pull.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Malone is actually taking the whole tossing of his room pretty well, and he lays down on the bed and relaxes. So what does the sheriff do?
Hey, check under that pillow.
He does it just to fuck with Malone.
And he draws on him.
Yeah. Nothing here.
Nothing there, chief. I can see that. And then, well, the sheriff talks to Paul, and then Paul goes and talks to Malone after the sheriff talks to him.
It's only a question of time. Smart fella you hide yourself, Paul. Real smart.
Hawkins, the man is a guest in my home.
Guest, huh?
Some guest.
Could I talk to you? As soon as we get your car fixed, I think you're gonna have to go.
All right.
Don't you want to know why?
No.
Wait a minute, goddammit! Oh, Joe's the only thing I've got.
You still don't get it, do you? After I'm gone, the lady's gonna come down on you harder than ever.
He's just a Lynn.
He's playing God in this valley. He wants you out.
I don't know what's right anymore, but
you need to start thinking about it.
And
I should have included in there, I got nowhere else to go.
Joe is brushing her hair and she's getting ready to offer her flower to Malone.
Well, okay, here we go. Joe's brushing her hair, starts thinking about Malone, hand slowly goes down her bathrobe or down her nightie into her panties.
Well, next thing in my notes is, I swear I thought she was about to start masturbating. But she goes out of her room and knocks on Malone's door.
Yes.
She goes in and his door was open.
Yes, she closes the door.
And she tells Malone he doesn't have to worry about them. They're tough. And he says, well, I don't think you're so tough. And she's got tears in her eyes and she goes over to him and they hug.
Yes. I used to be scared of you.
Now?
Yeah. It's different because you like me.
No, she says, now I think about you when I use my hairbrush in ways I shouldn't.
Yes. But then she goes, it's different now because you like me. And he goes, I do, but get back to your room.
He looks like he's about to kiss her, and that's when he tells her to go back to her room. And it's the first time in nearly 200 episodes of Betamax Rewind that we have a movie where there is a mutual jerk moment.
Oh, yes. She goes to her room and has a teddy bear jerk.
But she wishes that he wasn't going. He wishes a lot of things. And she turns and walks out, pausing at the door, and she goes in her room. And there's definitely a cut scene here.
Yeah.
But she's laying on her bed and she hears his door and she thought he was coming to her room. No, where is he going?
Well, he's going out to talk to Paul, who's having a heater.
Yeah. And I think I have, what's the name of it?
Malone talks to Paul while he's having a heater.
Yeah. Malone talk. Okay. Sorry.
Go
whole night.
Yeah. Cigarette?
No.
He turns it down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss this place. I hate running. But I'm worried about Joe.
I think I know Delaney real well. I've known men like him all my life. He won't quit.
It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. And it absolutely will not stop. Ever. Until you are dead.
Where does he live?
Why?
You don't want to know.
You didn't come here to solve my problems.
I don't know. I didn't actually come here to free slaves.
No, I came here because my transmission broke down.
And where does Malone go?
He goes to the car that's on the rack, and he pulls out a shotgun.
Wouldn't they have found that when they were working on the car?
Would think. Yeah.
But Paul is talking to Joe in the kitchen, and he's going into town, and does she want to come with him? No. She'll stay there. She's buttering toast.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to leave, and how could he ask her to go with? Doesn't somebody have to watch the gas station?
Yeah, you'd think.
But she pours a cup of coffee, and now that Dad is gone, she goes up to Malone's room.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lying in bed, and what is he doing?
He's just lying in bed in the middle of the day, just smoking a heater.
And she asks, are you getting up? Wait,
hold on
a
second. He's got denim jeans on and a denim shirt.
Denim on denim.
A great look.
Yeah.
It's a great look. I'm pretty sure at one point I did the same thing.
I think everybody did. I had one denim shirt, so sure.
Yeah, yeah. But she gives him some coffee and leaves, and she hears a horn honk and runs out to attend their customer.
Hi there.
Can I help you?
Yeah, is this Paul Barlow's station?
Yeah.
Good. Well, we'll have the works in, huh? Oil, gas, water, battery, tires, everything. Think you can handle it?
Sure.
Good. Start with the oil.
Go ahead. Hood's popped. There it is. See it? Is he here?
My father?
Thought you were smart, kid.
Stop scaring the kid. Just ask her.
Is he in the house? Is he in the house?
I don't know.
Good. Good girl. Go fill her up.
She goes to slam the hood.
Whoa. You don't want to make any noise, do we? No. Nice and easy. See what I mean?
And now she goes over to pump the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the bad guy do?
He squeezes her hand on the nozzle really, really hard. And goes, where? And she tells him where he is. Any guns? No. You sure?
Pretty sure.
You don't want to die, do you?
Lots of life left for you. Could be all over. And he rubs her face, and she lets the gas kind of run over,
mm-hmm.
which is a...
You tell me where the nuclear vessels are.
For the next 90 yeah. seconds.
Yes. But there's two guys. They're discussing how long it will take to get to the house, and they have mini Uzis with silencers. And Malone is still on his bed, just lying there. Have you ever just lied in bed and had a heater before?
In a hotel, sure.
Oh, yeah, no. That'd make me nervous. Like I'm going to start the bed on fire or something.
And this is the first time, and it happens quite a few times between now and the end of the movie, that the idea of pulling the slide back happens because every time somebody leaves or is about to do something, they always pull the slide back.
On a gun, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other guy is walking to the house with a jacket over his gun. And the whole time thing was 15, 20 seconds to the window, 15 seconds to do the job. I can't find him. That'll take longer, a minute max.
Yeah. And
there actually is some tension as he gets to the stairs and he's starting to walk up.
But these are stairs on the outside of the building.
And the music here is awful, though.
I guess I wasn't even paying attention to that.
And this is, it's not James Horner. It's the other guy that did this music.
I don't know.
But
who's the other guy?
We've done a bunch of his movies.
Okay.
But
we see the open window from inside. We see Joe crying. We see the window again. And then Joe yells Malone really loud. And he rolls off the bed. The dude who was going up the stairs on the outside stairs cuts in front of the window and shoots. And then Malone basically blasts a hole in him
and
with
a
shotgun.
He goes through the rail on the second story and falls off and goes.
Yes.
And once this whole thing broke out, Joe should have run for cover.
Yes.
But she's just kind of sitting next to the gas.
Well,
pump.
But she's never been in this situation before. Probably frozen with fear.
Oh, okay.
But sure. Then Malone busts through the window. But I mean, realistically, there's blood splatter on the frame and Malone fires at the guy by the car and hits the headlight. I mean, if he had just like aimed a quarter inch up, he would hit Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the guy goes to drive away and Malone shoots the car.
No,
I forgot the most important.
The guy is firing as Malone is running down the stairs and he gets clipped kind of in the side.
Yeah.
Of his
gut.
Yes, of his gut. But the guy gets in the car and drives and gas is pouring out and Malone fires and boom. And then he stumbles down the rest of the stairs.
Yeah, stunt double falls down the last set of stairs.
Yes, because if it was really Burt Reynolds, his toupee would have fallen off.
Well, I'm sure the stunt double was wearing a toupee as well. But later, the sheriff is there.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says that he's sorry this happened. And well, so is Malone. But Malone's in pain.
Yeah, Joe says, please don't die. And the doctor, who I believe this is the same doctor that worked on the Fat Ballard brother.
Okay.
Says, the bleeding has stopped, but we can't find the bullets. Should we call an ambulance? No time. Stuff him in the back of the cop car. The deputy is going to drive him to the hospital. And the sheriff tells Malone to stay still and tells the deputy to take care of him.
Yeah.
And smiles and winks.
Yeah, be careful so you don't bleed to death. That's what he says to Malone. And now the deputy is just hauling ass and kicking up a ton of dust. And
yes, and he's driving through Hazard County.
Yeah, driving around like the Duke boys.
I know a shortcut. And it's bumpy and he's laughing. And Malone gets up and grabs the wheel and
causes the car an accident.
Goes over a berm and rolls. And Malone is outside on the ground.
Yeah, he's thrown clear, but he's bleeding. But the thing that I actually give this movie credit for is they did not use sped up film here.
Okay.
All the driving, they were actually doing that fast.
All right.
And then back at Delaney's, Delaney comes home and is greeted by Madrid. And Delaney wants to know if everyone is there. But there's some bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. He tells them that Malone killed them both. And
both?
Delaney smiles.
Well, I think there's a begrudging respect there.
Sure there is.
And at the sheriff's office, the sheriff is doing some taxidermy.
Yes, on a pheasant. And a deputy comes in and tells him of the accident. And he says, oh, he broke his back.
Ah, poor Malone.
Yeah, poor Malone. No, it's the deputy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. But Malone is in the hospital. The sheriff is watching him. Delaney calls the senator, says, I'm ready. System is online, and it's the basement of the barn, and it's some sort of control center.
Yes. And this is where he gets a bunch of info about Malone's history, bunch of aliases, his army work, his special forces, and makes Delaney smile and then starts showing some of his CIA work and all the completed missions he had, except the last two were incomplete.
Yes. Yeah. But
the next day.
Back at the hospital, the nurse sees Malone and according to Matt, the thermometer is put in the wrong spot.
Yeah. She takes his temp the wrong way. Yep. It's in there.
Yep. She looks at his bedpan and she goes, "You've been walking down the hall again." And he said, "I never did learn to use one of those." Well, you better learn. Did you ever have to use a bedpan?
No.
No, me neither.
But Jamie walks into the hospital and she IDs the guy in the lobby that is there to kill Malone.
Yeah, he's smoking a heater in the waiting room.
And she ducks into a closet and comes out with a gurney and is dressed as a doctor or a nurse.
Right, right. Goes into his room and says, "Rise and shine, Jesus." And then she says, "You have an admirer outside, so be a good patient or we're both dead meat." And she wheels him out like a stiff.
Yeah, they do the dead body gag.
Yes, and while they're going down the hallway, well, they pass this fortunate lady.
Fully functional.
What are you, a fucking parrot?
It's from The Force Awakens.
Yes.
But
she wheels him out.
And you have one and I have one. My one comes first, but they get into the car and she starts kind of reading him the riot act.
Yes.
How did you get yourself involved with some half-ass local vendetta?
It's lucky, I guess.
Shit, we gotta tell you.
Well, that's your problem. I'm not driving.
And how is she driving?
Well. Some cars from the A-team are chasing them.
She's doing a lot of tongue acting as she's driving.
What do you mean tongue acting?
She's using her tongue to show that she's concentrating.
Oh, okay.
But after, as they continue to drive, their conversation actually continues.
You don't know what to do with me, do you?
You know, as a matter of fact, I know.
Don't you find me?
Well,
yeah. I sent you, didn't I?
Hardy. Malone. Whatever the fuck your name is, I think you should shut up.
She's making a choice here, or has a choice to make, depending on how you look at it.
Okay, tell.
He should be dead by now, first of all. If she did not intervene, the guy in the lobby would have killed him. So she should have just let the guy in the hospital take care of Malone if that's what she wanted to do. But by her keeping him alive, she's putting herself in harm's way and also going against the will of the CIA. So she's putting herself in a bad place because of him. But they pull up to a nice place and she goes into her purse just to show us that she still has the poison.
Yes, it's a safe house.
Have they banged before or is this a new thing?
I'm not sure. But he's in bed sweating. She leaves and drives to a payphone. And whoever's on the other side of the phone, she says, "I found him but lost him. He could be anywhere."
And she answers with, "Yes, sir." But shouldn't she have started the conversation with, "Go secure," and there'd be like a click, click, click?
Maybe, or maybe not.
But Malone wakes up and he yells for her. And
Jamie!
She's upstairs.
Yeah, where are we? It's a safe place. But we're going to have to play it moment to moment.
And he lays back down, and then the sheriff, Delaney, and Madrid all talk.
He's out there somewhere.
Mr. Delaney, excuse me, but I think you might be overreacting a little. I mean, there's no reason why he should come back. The man's gone. And if you ask me...
I didn't ask you about your badge, not your opinion. From now on, you'll report to Mr. Madrid. I want Malone here now, not tomorrow. I need to know what he knows about us.
Yes, sir.
Consider it done.
Very much like the assassin, Madrid is kind of perfect for this role just because his look is just that slight bit off of norm.
Kind of a slimy, "Hey man, hey boss."
Yeah, that
kind
exactly. Of guy.
Yeah.
But we go back to Malone and Jamie and
she brings him coffee. I don't want it.
And he's having a heater and he's suspect.
Because he's wearing a bathrobe.
And yeah, he rejects the drink. And how long have they been there?
5 days.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. But now he's walking up a hill and she says, "Proud of yourself." And he goes, "I didn't think," she says, "I didn't think you'd recover so fast." And they smile at each other, and she says, come on. And now is this where they're...
They're in bed together, yes.
They're in bed together. Why are you here?
He's really fucking hairy.
Well...
And all they show is his arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a monkey.
Well, so am I.
And I know that used to be very popular, but... Yeah, why are you here? Came to kill you. I know. If you're going to screw me to death, I'll die happy.
Yes.
And this is where I figured out, hey, this is what's off about her. She doesn't have that gap in her front teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she does a face waterfall on him. Do you know what that is?
A face waterfall? No.
Have you ever seen Face Off?
Yes.
It's the thing that John Travolta's character does to his family.
Where they run the fingers over their face?
Yes.
Okay.
But later she's bringing him coffee.
Yeah, I don't want it.
And
she takes a drink of it.
But I'm thinking this.
First of all, if you don't...
Sorry. Yeah, that's right.
First of all, if you don't trust the pussy, why are you fucking the pussy? What are you trying to prove? Shit, man. I guess some guys just don't care. I don't care about them, and I've got to have it.
Yeah, if he doesn't trust her,
that's Richard Pryor, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but he's looking at a map, and she asks if he's going somewhere.
I want to get my car. Yeah, you like it more than me.
Needs less lube than you.
Okay, I'm okay if you're not here when I get back.
And he goes to the homestead, and Malone and Paul hug, and Paul says, you'll always have a place here. And says, take care of yourself. I guess that's what you're best at.
Yeah.
And he says goodbye to Joe, and they kiss, and he starts to walk away.
Well, he kisses her on the cheek, and then she stops him and says this.
I've been thinking, and in 5 years, I'll be older.
Great. Well, I did a little thinking, too. No, actually, I did quite a bit of thinking, and I decided that you're breaking me.
What?
Broke. Bankrupt. Chapter 11.
What are you talking about?
This. I'm dry. Hey, I can't keep up with you. I'm not a bank.
Was that the wrong clip?
It was the wrong clip. Jesus. Is that your goal every week now?
No, just happened to work out. So here's what she actually says.
I've been thinking, and in 5 years I'll be older.
So will I.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older. They stay the same age. They just don't.
But they kiss again.
Uh-huh. He kisses her on the lips.
Paul is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Malone goes to his car as Paul walks over to Joe. And Joe says, I have to go change my panties. And Malone drives away.
Yes.
We go back to the safe house.
Yes. Jamie's in bed. A guy with a gun is there, pointing it at her. She kicks the gun, spins out of bed, grabs her own gun, and shoots him, and then runs to the front door, and Madrid is there.
And another guy's behind her. So she did something that was very incredible. You could tell she has some kind of training, and then she does something absolutely stupid in the next minute.
Where she runs through the front door?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yes. Where is he? Took him to the airport. He's over Denver by now, and he slaps her and then pulls out a plastic bag.
Grocery store bag. Yep.
Yes. Somehow I know you're going to tell me what I want to know.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. Yes.
But Malone pulls up in his car a little bit later and he walks up to the house and he's checking a text on his Apple Watch and thinks that something might be wrong. He walks into the house and he goes to the bathroom. Nothing. Then up the stairs and he sees an arm hanging out of the tub in the upstairs bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's taking a nap in the tub.
Yes.
But he takes the bag off her head and does a face waterfall to her and then holds her head. But the next day, a guard is walking around a gate to the Delaney property.
Mm-hmm.
And inside, Madrid is giving Delaney an update. And
yeah,
Yeah.
Things got out of hand. I had to put her to sleep.
She wasn't a dog.
Right. And Delaney's like, he's coming here now, though. And he's like John Wick.
Well, it's not just that, though. Well, because it killed the dog.
Yeah. Well, what the fuck is, what's the boogeyman? What is it in Russian in John Wick?
Oh, I don't know.
Alibaba or
the Babadook.
But no, come on, man. You've seen John Wick multiple times, haven't you?
It's been a long time. I only saw the first one and the second one. I've not seen three or four.
I have not seen. I couldn't get through the third one. It's after a while. It's just like, how many people are you just going to shoot and beat up? It's just, it's kind of the same thing. And I have not seen the fourth one.
Tarasov?
No, I think it starts with a B. Anyway, it'll come to me.
But there's a bigger issue here, and it's not Malone. She's a CIA agent.
Yeah.
Reality check. I am an FBI agent. They killed a fucking CIA agent.
Right.
And
right.
They probably suspect that given that she had a gun and killed one of Delaney's goons, that she was not just some random schmo. And he knows that Malone has CIA connections. The company mm-hmm. will send people, I would think.
Yeah, you would think so.
But you're right. He says, he's coming here. Let's prepare. And then Delaney goes to his gun cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But Malone, much like Madrid earlier, is driving like a dildo, squealing on mud, then on grass. And shouldn't he be doing kind of a more of a stealthy operation as he's planning
Baba
on assaulting?
Yaga. Baba Yaga.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he calls him, Baba Yaga. In the John Wick. Sorry, carry on. Yes.
But he does pull behind some trees.
He smashes through the gate.
Right.
Yes. And then the bad guys get notified by radio that he's there. He runs across the field.
Open
stables. Open field, yes. A good sniper would be able to take him down. He cuts the phone wire. Bad guys come out. We see the assassin, Patterson.
You missed he did some parkour, though.
Malone did?
Yes. Because he was up on the roof when he knocked out the phones.
Uh-huh.
And before that, he was just kind of like up to get onto the roof. And they have a huge, huge satellite dish, the old kind.
Okay.
Wonder if he gets some good porn on there.
Perhaps.
But Delaney is giving out directions on where people should go.
Yeah, sends the sniper to cover them. And then Delaney gives out some more orders. And then Malone finds the armory in the barn. All kinds of bazookas and rocket launchers and explosives. But, and he grabs a couple of grenades.
Right before he goes into where the arsenal is, though, there's this one place that is shown three or four times. And there's a very distinct, specific stack of hay there. And I was positive at one point Malone was going to pop out of it because they keep on showing it.
Okay.
But they never do.
Okay.
You're right. He opens a crate and he grabs some grenades and they were in coffee grounds for some reason. But Madrid is walking around with his Uzi, which he pulls the slide back on and he closes the arsenal room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something that is actually kind of funny, and I did not catch on the first time I watched this.
Oh, you watched this twice?
I watched it like immediately after the last podcast, and then I watched it to take notes.
Okay.
There are two shots back to back of Malone's hands unlocking a gate.
All right.
The first one, he's unlocking it. The hand comes from the left. And on the second one, the hand is coming from the right.
Is it the same shot?
No, it's not the same shot. It's the same lock.
Oh.
Because there's a very specific, like, missing chunk of wood right above the lock.
All right.
And it's the same. But horses start coming out, and then a guy goes into a building, and Malone knocks him out. Another bad guy hears something and goes into a building that Malone throws a grenade in.
Yeah.
It's actually a good stunt.
It is. I had to watch it a couple of times because he goes in there and boo, and the guy kind of gets blown out of the building.
It's there's no cut, and the guy flies out of an exploding building. That stuntman was actually killed in that stunt, but it was good.
Yeah, right.
Radio call comes in and says horses all over. And then what does the assassin say to that?
I don't care about the horses.
Glass,
Who gives a shit about glass? Who the fuck is this?
Same kind of thing. But Madrid is in a building we've seen before, and the hay pile is there.
Yes, and a cat jumps into a pile of sawdust, and it actually goes, meow, and it scares him.
And Malone puts some saran wrap over Madrid's face.
Yes. How do you like it?
And in a barn, another bad guy hears something above, and he climbs up to the loft above.
Right, and a hay bale knocks him out of the door that's way up there.
And he falls to his death.
Yes, and now the assassin is looking in the basement. He hears something above him and shoots the floor above him. And then he goes up there.
But something is poured onto him before he actually goes up there. What is it that's poured onto him from above? It's out of like a hose.
Is it just some dust? I think it's just some hay dust.
Okay. But yeah, he goes upstairs, more hay, and there's a body up there.
Yes.
And the assassin goes over to it. He thinks that it's Malone and that he killed him when he fired into the ceiling. So not such a big deal, hotshot. And Malone comes up from behind him as the assassin kicks over the body. He says, put it down. And then the guy throws down his gun.
Put it down. You are good. Very good. Turn around. So what are you going to do, Malone? Shoot me? Like this? A man like you? I don't think so.
Now I get to die.
What's the point?
The point is I want to go out man to man. Just me and you. Put down the gun. Let's go with it. Come on, you fucking sissy. What, are you afraid of me? Come on, mano to mano. Fist to cuss, baby. Let's go with it. Just you and me. No one's around. Come on, I'm fucking out of it. Let's go.
Wrong.
Sometimes I can't help myself.
No, you cannot. You cannot help yourself.
But the guy, during that clip, as he's trying to convince Malone to not shoot him, he has a wrist gun.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And after the assassin is shot, he falls through a hole in the floor down to the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
And Delaney is kind of walking around the compound, the whole area, and he's seeing the carnage of all his guys dead, and he starts running.
Yes.
And he gets to the building that the assassin was killed in. He's looking around, and then he sees the body of the assassin in some kind of, I don't know what you call it.
I'm not sure. It's some sort of like holding chamber for hay or something. I'm not sure, but he's got a big old hole in his head.
But there's a joke here that they play like a couple notes of Christmas music that was played because the guy is in a manger.
Ah, okay.
But Delaney goes back to the room with the heavy door.
Mm-hmm. It's the control room that we saw before.
But he goes in gun drawn and he feels something, a presence.
Mm-hmm.
You're here, aren't you, Richard? I can feel you, Richard. You're here, Richard.
Yeah.
What do you think of my little secret?
Interesting.
It's our future, Richard. This is our control center, Richard. You'd be surprised how far we've gone, huh? You'd be surprised. We've got senators and congressmen in 6 states, Richard, and someday we'll have them in every state. Well, you didn't think we'd work alone. We have 40 sectors in 40 states with 40 leaders, and they're all patriots. Patriots with a cause. You kill me, somebody will take my place.
This valley is just the beginning. It's like Genesis. Look.
Fortresses of freedom. Communities of right-thinking people. This country is fighting for its life.
And we are the warriors. We
the guardians of the future. We cannot let anyone or anything deflect us from our purpose. You know the real world. We can't be weighed down by sentiment. The Barlows of the world are part of the problem. They're mindless sheep. They get in our way. We, of pure race, must get rid of the traitors within the country. We must deal with the traitors. We need you, Richard.
Who needs me?
Your country. America. You're misguided, Richard. You're damaged goods.
You sly dog! You got me monologuing! I can't believe it!
You shouldn't be fighting me, Richard. We should be on the same side. Richard. We're so much alike.
You are basically begging me to put that in there.
I didn't even think about it until you put it in there.
There's another thing that was supposed to be in there, but I forgot, and I saw it when I see my notes. When he says Genesis, it was supposed to be, Genesis? What's that? But the sheriff is pulling up as Malone is walking away from the barn, and Malone casually tosses his pistol to the side as he's walking.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff gets out of his car and calls to Malone.
I'd like to talk to you. And he turns to look at the barn, and boom.
And then Malone does the cliche walking away from the explosion.
He still flinched, though, when the barn blew up.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
But the sheriff is backing away from Malone and gets in his car, and Malone points a finger gun at him.
Okay.
And the sheriff thought he was going to die. And then we get the credits over the burning of the Malone driver's license. And did you see what the commissioner's name was?
No.
Alfred E. Newman.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, little Easter egg in there for people that paid attention. But movie's over, your film.
It wasn't terrible. it was a semi-well-made contemporary action theater thriller with traditional tropes, framework, you should say. Would I recommend it? No, I would not. But I'm not a worse person for watching it. I did enjoy it. But it's just kind of one of those movies that's just kind of there. It'll never get watched again ever in my house. But I did enjoy it.
I enjoyed it more the second time I watched it.
Okay.
I disagree. I think it is extremely poorly made.
Okay.
It is very, very tropey, which is fine, but it is just not put together particularly well, I didn't think. It's not edited very well. It's not shot particularly well. And it was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it was not good. And no, I definitely would not recommend this to anybody.
Yeah.
So did Jen watch this?
No way did she watch this.
Sorry.
And now it's time for Jen's 2 second movie review.
Didn't watch it.
That was Jen's 2 second movie review.
Jen!
Didn't even float it as an option.
No.
But we already played it. So what happens from here with Malone? I think that this was potentially seen as like the first of multiple. He would have another Malone type adventure in a different
place. Like Reacher. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's, you know, he comes back in 5 years, bangs Joe, and then goes and makes porno movies with Mark Wahlberg.
I think this movie creeped me out more than any movie that we've watched so far.
Okay.
And you're right. It is there in Shane. So it is there in Pale Rider. It's not that those did not exist, but I think it's the culmination of who Burt Reynolds is and the roles he's played in other things that just kind of ratcheted up that creep factor to me. And especially when the dad is right there and he's just kind of letting it go.
Sure.
Okay, but let's move on.
What you watching?
Quite a bit of football. It was, you know, fun watching the Packers make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And
will
with
they
that,
beat Dallas?
If they keep it close to the end, Mike McCarthy will fuck it up.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's one of those games that it could really go any way. It could be Green Bay blows them out, Dallas blows them out, or it could be close. I mean, that's how I look at it. I can't predict how it will go. And I don't think really anybody could.
I think you look at, there are, is it six games this weekend? Is that right?
Two on Saturday, three on Sunday, and one on Monday.
Honestly, I think I could legitimately see any of those six games going either way.
And that's, a lot of times, that's how you see it, too, in wild card weekend. There's several times on wild card weekend where you go, there were five blowouts and then one good game.
But so many of the teams that were kind of, oh, these teams are next level, have kind of been exposed in the last three, 4 weeks of the season. There's not a team that isn't beatable any given week.
I don't know, man. You got to take a look at the Rams. They've been playing well, like what, the last 6 or 7 weeks?
Yeah, I think the Rams probably are on the hottest streak right now. It's the Rams and then maybe San Francisco, but Philly looks beatable. Detroit is a Jekyll and Hyde team. Dallas has been pretty solid at home. Away from home, they haven't been.
Yeah.
In the AFC, Kansas City is definitely beatable. The Bills have been run.
But Miami, it's going to be like 1 degree on Saturday night. Mm. And that's the only reason why I'd want to watch that game, is just to see how Miami takes to the weather.
Oh, I just want to see Taylor Swift. That's the only reason I want to watch that game.
No, I don't.
Anyway, yeah. Continue. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
And so because of that, you know, of course, you know, my YouTube algorithm opens up to a lot of Packers stuff. One interesting half-hour video that I watched was from a Denver guy, YouTuber. How do the Packers keep on getting Hall of Fame quarterbacks? I mean, it's pretty cool. It's if he has, you know, a good 10-year run here, that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about the fact that about Black Monday.
Black Monday. Oh, all the coaches. Yeah. And then, yeah, Nick Saban quit and Pete Carroll just got fired. I wouldn't say fired, but
he got pushed out. He said he still wants pushed. To coach. Belichick got fired today.
Was he fired? Yep. Or just, yeah, okay.
Or, I mean, they might have let him step down, but.
Yeah, I think the biggest travesty that of who got fired was Mike Vrabel
with Tennessee.
He'll probably go to the New England.
I don't know if he wants to go to like a rebuilding thing like that. I can see where he would because he has a history there. I think the biggest surprise for me was Pete Carroll, because, you know, after they lost Russell Wilson, it took Russell Wilson 2 years to kill his coach, you know, 2 years after he left it. But the Seahawks were better than anybody expected them to be the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're talking about possibly, oh, Tomlin might be gone after this season too. And Tomlin has never had a losing season.
No.
And he's been coached forever.
They've had three coaches in the last 40 some years. That's just that Pittsburgh just doesn't fire their coach. So, and then I'm watching the series on YouTube. It's actually produced by the Green Bay Packers. It's going through 10-year stretches of the organization.
Okay.
And it's real interesting. You know, the story of Reggie White coming to town. Care to guess how much his contract was over 4 years?
$7 million?
$17 million.
Huh.
And that was a shit ton of money back then.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, it's just when you think about contracts today.
Yeah. Now somebody like Reggie White would be making $30 million a year.
Right. Well, the crazy thing, and you probably don't get a lot of this because who cares about the Browns in Wisconsin, but, you know, the Browns signed Deshaun Watson to this gigantic guaranteed contract.
Right.
And then he was suspended, and then he got hurt, and then you got Flacco, who was sitting on the couch, literally.
Yeah.
Comes back in. He has a good run at the end. He actually ended up sitting out the last game of the season so they could rest him for the playoffs.
Sure.
And I was actually debating with people of which is the worst contract, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, definitely Deshaun Watson. Because, I mean, the Packers will get out of the Aaron Rodgers cap hit, I think, after next year.
I'm talking about for the Jets.
Oh, for the Jets? Oh, Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Because Rodgers will play for him next year.
All right, continue.
So, All Mankind, watch a lot of Daily Dose of Internet on YouTube. You ever watch that?
No.
They're like 3.5 minute clips, but it's just this guy that puts together all kinds of cool stuff. Have you, or do you have any interest in watching Rebel Moon on Netflix?
I've heard nothing but terrible things about it. I don't, it's something that's on my radar. I just have not got around to it.
Right. It's kind of one of those things where it's, I don't know if I want to watch this on an iPad, because a friend of the show, Dan, said he watched. Last time I talked to him, he said, I'm halfway through Rebel Moon. I don't know if he finished it. And I go, how is it? And he goes, it's pretty. It's pretty to look at.
Because that's but Snyder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of slow motion, just kind of like Michael Bay has lots of explosions with white sparks.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thing. But that's it, really.
Wait, I watched the national championship game.
Okay.
Extremely happy about that. It is a thing where everybody in Columbus is so butthurt about anything with Michigan, and it's all, oh, they're cheaters, it's going to be vacated, blah blah blah. It's like they beat you flat out. Mm-hmm. And look at, they beat Alabama barely, but they still beat Alabama. They should have beat Washington by a lot more than they did, but the game was still a rout in the end, and they were honestly, I think the best team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's all, well, it's only because they're cheaters. So get over it. Okay.
Yeah.
Your tears make me, they nourish me.
Yeah.
Days of Thunder. Watch that.
Okay. Interesting. Why Days of Thunder?
It came up on the podcast. I don't remember how, but it did.
All right.
Up to date on Reacher, except for today.
Nicole Kidman looks really good in that movie.
Yeah, I think that probably was it, because I think I said something about how it was probably in the Full Metal Jacket where I said that Kubrick's most famous for making it not be believable that a married couple is actually interested in each other, which was Kidman and Cruise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's not a good movie.
All right.
A Reacher, up to date on Reacher. I read this thing online where people are saying it's the worst television show ever, which is just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as the first season.
Right.
It's still not bad, but to say it's the worst season or worst show ever is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I have not watched Echo yet.
No, I have not. So that's out?
Yes.
Okay. I guess, you know what? I'll look at the reviews before I jump on that.
Lower Decks. I'm almost through the first three seasons of Lower Decks. It is a show that was so raved about by everybody that I saw online. And I can see it. It's fun, but unless you are a Star Trek geek, a lot of it is just way, because they are just constantly dropping references to different things.
Okay.
Amazing Race, been working our way through that. I watched the three Family Guy Star Wars specials.
I only saw the one that was on Plex.
They're all there.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I watched the remake of I Spit on Your Grave.
All right.
And then I watched a movie called I Spit on Your Grave Redux, which is a sequel to the original film that actually has the actress from the original film.
Okay.
I'm about halfway through that. It's 2.5 hours. It's terrible.
So then why are you going to continue watching it?
I may or I may not. Okay. I was hoping it was going to get better, but it's so bad. It makes Malone look good.
Okay.
But that is it. So, ready for next week?
I am.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. 3 degrees for next week's movie, and I think I like it.
And you said sci-fi, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually rolled a dice to do it because you said you needed to know what it was. So just a reminder, this is my season of Under Siege. So everything linked from Under Siege.
You should still wait. Did you not get my text?
I got your text. I got your text.
You can't fuck with 3.5 years of tradition.
I got your text. Gary Busey plays Krill in Under Siege. Busey plays Book's dad in 1996's Sticks and Stones. Kirstie Alley plays Joey's mom in that film. Alley plays Jackie in next week's 1984 film that continues the Dick Broom trend.
Look who's talking. John Travolta and Bruce Willis.
Cliff Robertson plays Delaney in this week's movie. He plays Commander Carl Jessup in 1976's Midway. Tom Selleck plays aide to Captain Cyril Simard in that film. Selleck plays Ramsey in next week's 1984 film about the future from the past.
So Tom Selleck's first name in Lassiter is Ramsey. He's Ramsey Lassiter. Of course I know it's Runaway.
So yeah, next week we will be doing Runaway, which is available on one of the free services. It's not Netflix or Amazon. It is like
Tubi or something.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And sometimes those are okay. Sometimes there's no ads. Sometimes there is ads.
Have you ever watched any of the, because you can actually watch movies on Plex through the Plex service, not through me.
Yes.
They have commercials like every 10 minutes.
Do they?
It's really bad.
Oh,
that's one of the reasons I only got halfway through, not Faces of Death. I Spit on Your Grave Redux.
Oh, okay. All right. So Runaway with Gene Simmons also.
And Cynthia Rhodes.
Cynthia Rhodes. She was in Flashdance.
And Dirty Dancing.
Oh, which I have not seen.
And actually, after we do Runaway, we'll only have one film in her 1980s filmography we have not done, which is Xanadu.
Oh, really? Xanadu. I'll quit the podcast if you do Xanadu. Okay. That's not Jamie Lee Curtis. That's Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
And who else?
John Gielgud.
America's favorite old fart.
I think actually John Gielgud is in it.
Really? Xanadu.
Xanadu cast. Yeah. Gene Kelly.
Okay. All right. He's another old. Well, I'm sure he was old by that time.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
So go ahead and bring us on home.
I think I've only seen it once.
Xanadu?
No. Never Runaway? Seen Xanadu. Runaway. I think I've only seen it once, and that was a rental. And I don't remember liking it. But I understand from what I was reading that they do peer into the future and do a pretty good job of predicting social media and some other things.
They got some stuff pretty good. They did hit some stuff pretty spot on. It's not a fast starter. I will tell you that.
No.
It does get better.
Okay.
Which is something I have to tell you all the time. It does get better, Doug.
It does get better?
Yes.
It gets better. All right. Wow. Sub 3 hours.
Yeah. The new note-taking method is working.
Sub 2.5 hours, actually. Wow. That's a short pod. This is probably the shortest one we've done in a while, huh?
It is up there or down there, depending on your point of view.
Right. So, hey, thanks everybody for joining us for Burt Reynolds and Malone and all the Dick Broom talk. Join us next week for Runaway with more Dick Broom and Gene Simmons and Kirstie Alley.
Yep.
And
Cynthia Rhodes.
I think there's a bunch of those guys in it. I think Rizzo from MASH, isn't it?
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Muppet Show.
No, what is the guy's... Who is Klinger's nemesis in... He runs like the motor pool in MASH.
Oh, the guy from... Yeah, the guy from Police Academy.
You're right.
Yeah, he is in that.
Yes. Yeah, you should know this. You should know his name. I gave you the guide to every MASH episode.
Okay. It's not like I don't have a didactic memory. It's not like I know something just because I read it one time.
Well, you are a Mensa qualified, so.
Yeah,
but
number sequencing, spatial.
Okay, yes. Now, reach out to the show, betamaxrewind@yahoo.com. Like us where you get your or rate and review where you get your podcasts, and like us on Facebook. And we'll see you next week for
Runaway.
She's a little runaway.
I already got my bed done.
Okay.
One take.
One take. Hey, how about that?
Yep. It's great. So see you next week for Runaway.
All right. See you later.
Dana!